Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
I am so grateful that we live in a country where we still have our Bibles and we can still read our Bibles. How many here have a Bible? Okay, amen. How many have more than one Bible? Okay, how many have three or more Bibles? Okay, this is going to get long. How many have five or more Bibles? Okay, isn't that wild? Okay, yeah, I have one Bible study program that has like 35 different versions of the Bible on it. So I'm not going to keep going on that. But, it's interesting that in this country, we have unlimited access to the Word of God. And yet, how many of us take advantage of that access and actually do open up the Bible from time to time? There are some areas of this world, even where we minister, where people will just go ahead and tear a page out of a Bible and share it because they don't have a whole Bible to read. And so we truly are blessed this morning, are we not? All right, well, this morning we're going to be over in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And for those of you who don't know, that's the Easter story. And I'm going to read the Easter account to you out of the Good News Bible because that's just a friendly. It doesn't have any these and thous in it. It's just a real friendly version. But I want to read that passage of Scripture to you. And there's just something that kind of jumped out and slapped me in the face as I was studying for it this morning. And maybe it will be a blessing to you also. So John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw that the large stone was moved away from the entrance. So she ran to Simon Peter and the other follower, the one that Jesus loved very much. That's how John the Beloved referred to himself. And she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other follower started going to the tomb. And they were both running, but the other follower, who was John, who was a lot younger, ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent down and looked in, and he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter finally reached the tomb and went in, he saw the pieces of linen lying there. He also saw the cloth that had been around Jesus' head, and it was folded up and laid in a different place from the pieces of linen. Then the other follower went in, the one who had reached the tomb first, and he saw what had happened and believed. Now, these followers did not yet understand from the Scripture that Jesus must rise from death. Then the followers went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and while she was crying, she bent down and looked inside the tomb, and she saw two angels dressed in white sitting where Jesus' body had been. One was sitting where the head had been, the other was sitting where the feet had been. And the angels asked Mary, "Woman, why are you crying?" And Mary answered, "They took away the body of my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." When Mary said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And she thought he was the man in charge of the garden. So she said to them, "Did you take him away, sir? Tell me where you put him, and I will go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And he turned, or she turned toward him and said in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, you don't need to hold on to me. I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my followers and tell them this. I'm going back to my Father and your Father, and I'm going back to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the followers and told them, I saw the Lord. And she told them what he had said to her. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it's interesting that we have a couple of eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what is interesting in this account is that the eyewitnesses saw different things. Now, you know, it used to be that if a crime were committed, that the best that law enforcement could ever hope for would be an eyewitness. Boy, if we had an eyewitness to this crime, then, you know, we're going to solve this case. And it wasn't until many years later that they found out you can have as many eyewitnesses as you want to. Most people are so, traumatized by the crime that they don't know what they saw. And you will get, variations in how many perpetrators they were. You will get variations on what the color of their hair was, the color of their skin, the color of their clothing. You will get all sorts of variations because people respond to trauma in different ways. And when you're upset, you're going to see things a little bit differently based on what your experience is. And so we have here some eyewitnesses. We have somebody, Mary Magdalene, who went to the tomb. She saw that the tomb was open, and so she immediately went back and reported the crime. Told the disciples, something has happened. The door to the tomb has been opened. And so you have two of the disciples who decide they're going to respond. One was John the Beloved, the youngest one of all of Jesus' disciples, young and strong and swift of foot. And so he was able to get up and he ran on ahead. Then there was Peter. Peter was a little bit older. Peter's like some of us old guys. Yeah, I'll get there when I get there. Okay? And so he probably walked at a little hurried gait, but he definitely wasn't going to run like that young whippersnapper John. And so they got there and they looked in. They're eyewitnesses here. They see that the body's gone. The grave clothes are there, but the body is gone. And I want you to see something here. It says that John saw and he believed. John saw and he believed. That was just the little bit of encouragement that John needed. John said Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead. Jesus said that he was the Son of God. I believe. And it changed John's life. Peter, on the other hand, he didn't believe. As a matter of fact, it was just a few days later, and Peter would say, I give up on this Jesus stuff, on this being a disciple. I'm going back fishing. Who wants to join me going back and starting up the fishing business again? And several of the disciples went with Peter because they saw the same thing John did, but they didn't believe. So they had given up hope. They were ready to write off the last 3.5 years of their lives. The last 3.5 years that they had spent with Jesus. But you see, there was another eyewitness to this account. And it was Mary Magdalene. And she looked in the cave, the same cave that Peter and John just looked in. Peter and John looked in there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's empty. Okay. John believes. Peter doesn't. They turn around and leave. Mary goes up and looks in. And what does she see? She sees two angels sitting there. Two angels. And then she turns around. And who does she see? She sees Jesus. Wait a second. Did Jesus just magically appear just a split second after Peter and John departed? Did these two angels magically appear just a split second? I mean, Peter and John look in. They're not there. They stand up. Boom. The two angels run in there real quick. This is really going to be exciting for somebody because somebody's going to poke their head in there. And oh, Mary pokes her head in. There is Peter and John. Why did they see different things? And I believe that the reason was because of their faith. Because John looked in. Well, let me start with Peter. Peter looked in and he didn't have any faith. He saw what anybody else in the world would see. An empty tomb. He didn't stop to think, well, what happened to it? Where are the guards? What's going on here? He didn't stop to think anything about that. He just, yeah, okay. Just a wonderful ending to a horrendous day. This is all I need. Now they've stolen his body. And that is Peter's response. But John looks in and he sees the body is gone and he remembers the words of Jesus. And the Bible says he believed. That was enough for John. He wasn't ready for any more. He was just ready to accept, yes, Jesus said he was the Son of God. Jesus said he was going to die. Jesus said he was going to rise again. That's good enough for me. But then Mary comes along. And I believe that Mary looked in that tomb with eyes of faith, remembering all the words that Jesus had spoken to her. Remembering all the promises from the Word of God that Jesus had shared with her and shared with the disciples, but she was there listening and she heard these are the Jesus said this is talking about him. This promise about the Messiah, it's talking about Jesus. And she believed that. And so when she looked in, she was looking in with eyes ready to see the miraculous. And what did she see? The miraculous. I mean, I don't know if you would call two angels sitting around miraculous. How many see angels sitting around on your porch or on your couch every day? I've not seen any in my house. All right. I mean, seeing an angel, let alone two angels, that's kind of a supernatural event, wouldn't you say? But Mary saw it. Why? Because she had a heart of expectation. She believed what the Word of God said. She believed the Word of God just like John believed the Word of God. But she believed the Word of God with a little bit something extra. She had expectation. She expected it to come true, and so she saw the angel. And then when she turned around, there's Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, and so it's purely conjecture. But I would like to believe that Jesus had been there all the time. I would like to believe that when Mary first came to the tomb early in the morning, Jesus was already standing there, just wondering who was going to show up. I believe that when she went back and the two disciples came down the path, I believe Jesus was already standing there. But you see, they didn't see Jesus because they didn't come with hearts of expectation. They didn't expect to see Jesus, and so you know what? They didn't see Jesus. But when Mary Magdalene came back, and she looked in the tomb and then she turned around. She saw Jesus because she had that attitude of expectation. You know, I think it was the first time that I ever took Terry to India with me. We went and we did some large crusades. And we came into this one city where we had a big building, not quite a coliseum, but it held a lot of people. And there were these big banners that were pasted all over the place. And Terry's and my picture was on this banner, and then there's all this scribbling up there because they write in Sanskrit over in India, you know, so it's not even the Latin alphabet. It's, you know, something completely different. And so I went and took one of these posters and I asked the pastor, what does this say? And he says, oh, it's real easy. It says, Brother Dale and Sister Terry Climie are coming from America and they're great healers. And I said, wait a second, I never said I was a great healer. I never said I was a healer. I simply said I believe that God hears our prayers and He'll heal us. and the pastor was really funny. He says, shh, pastor, it's not for you, it's for them. Because when they come expecting, they're going to receive. And you know what happened when those crazy people came expecting that God was going to heal them? He did. You know, they just kind of had that attitude of expectation, and they showed up and they said, God is big enough that we're going to pray and I'm going to get my healing. And that's what they got, was their healing. Because you see, they came with attitudes of expectation. Mary Magdalene came with an attitude of expectation. What did we come here today with? All right, did we come with enough faith like John, where it says, okay, that's what the Word of God says, I believe it, that's good enough for me? Did we come like Peter that said, oh man, you have not had a week like I have had, and I am here, but it's just out of my religious obligation, I am here, and I'm not expecting anything. All right, or are you here this morning like Mary Magdalene that says, I've come expecting. I have come because I expect God's Word to be true. And I expect Him to answer my prayers. And I expect Him. You see, your whole life is different when you have an attitude of expectation. Amen? And so this morning, the question is, how do you approach God's Word? How do you approach the promises of God? How did you come to church this morning? Did you come in here with, okay, here I am, it's Easter, 2 days out of the year I've got to go to church or God will get me. Okay, I've got to be there on Easter and I've got to be there on Christmas. Or did we come with an attitude of expectation, saying, my God is going to meet me there, and there He can perform the miraculous in my life. There He can perform the supernatural in my life. And again, so many people have said, well, Pastor, don't you think it's a dangerous thing to get people encouraged about wanting, desiring, even expecting God's supernatural touch in their lives? And I said, I would rather be expecting and wanting it, desiring it, than to go through life just like everybody else in this world, never expecting anything, never getting anything. I like to look up and every morning when I wake up and look around and say, where is God's hand in my life today? Amen. When you have that attitude, you go down the street and somebody swerves into your lane and you might get a little excited, or you might say, well, that was God's hand of deliverance in my life. And you just begin to see the little miracles in our lives. You know, I'm so thankful that Mary Magdalene, she saw a big miracle. She saw something supernatural when she saw the angels and she saw the resurrected Savior. But you know, there's little miracles in each of our lives every day. And it's those things that we have to be thankful for. But this morning, I am thankful and I am grateful for the greatest gift of all, and that is our resurrected Savior. Amen? Amen. Father God.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.